My name is Linda Velarde. I'm 54 years old. Today is August 10th, 2008. We are in Buffalo, New York, and I am the daughter here.
Hello, my name is Dolores Velarde. I'm 79, and today's date is August 10th, 2008, and our location is Buffalo, New York, and my relationship is I'm her mom.
And we're here because of a love story that mom has always told me since I was a little girl. Mom was born in Buffalo. We were both born and raised in Buffalo. Mom was born on the east side to parents of Polish immigrants who were, she's all Polish. But in 1944, I think it was, my father came up from Mexico. And he came up here because during the war, they needed workers. Everybody was in the war, so they needed some workers. And he came up here to work at, I think it was the railroad, right?
He was on the railroad.
He worked in the railroad. My mom lived at 1516 Broadway, right, 1517 Broadway, right behind Edwin's Music Store. So everybody in the east side of Buffalo would know that landmark because it has been there for years. And there was a railroad trestle right there. And what I want to ask is if you remember the very first time you saw Dad.
Yes, it was Grandma and I went to the store, happened to go to the store right on at the end of Deschler and Ashley. Kind of got a picture in my mind almost. And we went to the store. It was a little Polish corner store. And I just happened to see this man that looked very handsome to me, and I said to my mom, "Mom, look at him, isn't he gorgeous?" And she says, "Shh." She said, "Don't say that, you're too young." So anyway, I looked at him, he looked at me, and we went to the store again several times, and the owner, Seal, next time I went, she said, "Here's a note for you. It's from this fellow you were eyeing, and he was eyeing you." And I went outside with the note, and he was still waiting out there for me, and I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well," he says, "what's your name?" He just spoke pretty good, not perfect English, but he spoke English enough for me to understand.
And at the time, you didn't speak any Spanish.
I was, and believe it or not, it goes to show you how coincidental life is, because I was listening to the programs in Spanish, and I would pick up words and phrases, and it just stuck to me. And I didn't really have to take lessons, and it just stuck to me. Like I say, it was meant to be. That I speak Spanish and that I, you know, that I meet Dad, like I always said, it was meant to be.
And at the time, I think we have to note that you were just 15.
Oh, yes.
And Dad was 21.
Yes, he was.
So there was, what?
6 years.
6 years difference. And that's quite a lot for that time to have somebody that's 21.
Yes, yes. And today's law would frown on it.
And so when you met him and he met you and he passed on the note, you started talking. And what would be a typical, like, date if you did date at the time?
We'd just walk. Walk the blocks. Uh-huh. We had to be careful because not too many Polish boys in the area looked kindly upon the Mexican people because they were here. They figured replacing the guys, yes, but also stealing their women. And, you know, wasn't that case at all, at least not in my opinion.
And was language ever a barrier, or was Dad pretty good at
speaking? No, that was really very good. Like I say, I don't know why, you know, it just happened that, you know, I picked up Spanish so clearly because I can read and write it today without even studying it. And
okay, so you dated for about 2 years.
Well, no, it was about a year.
About a year.
Because I went to Mexico when I was 16.
All right, now we're going to get into that now.
Okay.
Eventually Dad had to go back to Mexico because
he
was only here.
His contract was over.
Right, he was only here like on some sort of work program or visa or something.
Yes.
So when he left, was it like a tearful goodbye? Did he say, you know,
yes, it was tearful for me because he said, you know, that... You know, when I told him that I'm going to see him, I'm going to go down there, he says, "No, it's impossible." I said, "Never, never impossible. I'm going to be there." So we corresponded. I had his address. He had mine.
And so this is the good part of the story, because at the age of just 16, you on your own,
went
with
to work.
No one else, you went to your mom and you said, "You're going to go down there."
Well, I was living with Mom and Dad.
Right.
My mom.
You were still at home, right.
But Dad didn't know.
And you went on your own into Mexico.
Yes, I took a train a cousin of mine was going to go with me, and then she chickened on the last minute, so I had no choice but to go alone.
Right.
So we went on, I went on a train all the way down to Laredo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we had to get off because we would have to take a bus to go into Mexico itself, which was in Tampico. So I said, I was waiting for my bus, and lo and behold, a squad car comes by with the immigration police, whatever they were doing, and they put me in their squad car, and they sat me down, and they said, who are you, and where are you going? And I told him my name. He said, do you have your papers with you? Which at that time, we just needed a tourist card. So I showed it to them. He said, you got money? Yes, I had to show him how much money I had. And he says, where are you going? So I gave him the address. And then he says, does your mom and dad know where you're going? And I says, oh, boy, here's where they're going to ship me right back. And I says, sure. He says, what about if we call them? I said, go ahead. In the meantime, I said, well, yeah, this is the end of it.
How funny.
But you know, he just took my, I guess he took me up on it that I wasn't lying, because I said, yeah, go call them. And lo and behold.
And he let you go.
Yeah, he let me go.
Now, how much money did you have on you?
I don't really remember, but at that time, you didn't need a lot of money. A lot of money was $20 at that time.
But did Grandma give you the money, or did you?
No, I had to go to work. I worked for a while.
Oh, okay.
I worked for a while and made some money to save it and take it with me. And, of course, Grandma wrote me, and my mom, which is your grandma, mm-hmm, she wrote me and sometimes would send me money and all that. And
so you went down there,
uh-huh,
and you went right into Tampico. You asked for the address, however it was you found your way into Mexico.
Well, I had his address, and I went to the address I was writing to.
Okay.
Little, you know, did I know, even my son David says, Mom, how did you know that he wasn't lying, that Dad wasn't lying, that he could have been
had a family.
Just a family, and uh-huh, you would have gone there, and what would you have done?
Or if he would have just said, you know, I'm going somewhere else now and not been home.
Yeah.
But he was there when you got there.
Well, he was not there at the house. His aunt and uncle were at the house.
Uh-huh.
And when I knocked on the door, they opened, and I told him who I was, and I asked for Carmen Velarde, and they knew exactly who I was saying. He says, well, he's not here, but we'll go. And they didn't speak any English.
Uh-huh.
And he says, we'll go and get them. So, lo and behold, they brought him to the house, and when he saw me, naturally he was happy, but probably at the same time he was saying, oh my gosh, he really did come. And then, you know, after a while, we just went to his mom's house, because his mom lived with his brother, and his brother had already one children, and she was going to have another child when I was there.
And so you married down there?
Well, we didn't marry right away, because mm-hmm, we had to get papers and get a neighbor to be our witnesses. But after a while, we knew we had to get married to get back to the States, because I wanted to bring him back home with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And we went to Madero, which is just a suburb of Tampico, and that's where we got married by the Justice of the Peace in what they call Ciudad Madero, Tamaulipas. And we had our two neighbors, Arturo and Doña Juana. They were our, as they say, testigos, which are our witnesses. And that was it. I don't even know if we had any kind of a celebration at all when we came home.
Did you have like a wedding dress?
No, I just had my best clothes that I took. That's what I wore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing traditional of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. I just, you know, had a nice dress and a skirt. And that was it. And naturally, his mother was there, and his brother is also to witness our marriage. But
and all the time that you got married down there, didn't you wish your mom was down there, or
well,
your dad?
I would have liked them to be there, yes. And I would have liked what I should have done, actually, and I think I regretted it after a long while, which is too late to even think about it now. But I should have had our marriage blessed when I got back home with him. But you know, I just was having children every year, and I just never got around to thinking of myself. I was too busy and involved with my family, so.
Uh-huh.
But Dad, after a while, I guess he forgave me, because he welcomed myself and my husband back home.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, well, first of all, when you did get married, you were just 17.
Yes.
And Dad was 22 at the time.
Yeah.
Then.
And he was 23.
Oh, he was 23. Okay. And this was in September 26th of 1946. That's your anniversary. And
well,
so
I got married in 46.
Right. That's what he said.
Yeah. And Jim. Oh, okay.
And so when you came back, how was the reception? What did Grandma and Grandpa, you know, first of all, what did Grandpa do knowing after?
He was happy to see me.
I bet.
He was happy. He was just glad I was home.
Uh-huh.
And he, after a while, I don't know what he thought first, you know, but he accepted Dad, you know, after a while, there was no conflict ever between them.
And when you came back to Mexico, to the States after from being in Mexico, mm-hmm. now Dad had no job waiting for him back here.
No.
And neither did you, for that matter.
Oh, no.
So
no.
You lived with Grandma and Grandpa on Broadway, or was it on Deschler?
On Broadway.
It was on Broadway at that same
at the
place
same
you were 15, raised
17, right where I was raised.
And it was the back house upstairs. And also at the time, Grandma had three of her own children there, or were just two living at the
just
house?
Just two.
To Aunt Phil and Uncle.
One brother and one sister.
Uncle Ted. And so you moved in with you and Dad.
Uh-huh.
And Grandma had how many bedrooms in that little apartment?
Just two.
Two bedrooms. So we had.
So my sister and my younger sister and my brother had bunk beds in with my mother and father's double bed.
And you and Dad had another bedroom.
And then we had another bed in off the living room. There wasn't one bed there.
And that was your bedroom.
That was, yeah.
And so then you got pregnant with Jim,
uh-huh.
and you stayed there?
I stayed there.
And then how long?
I stayed there till I think I had Diane.
So she had three children.
Three children.
Living in the house with you and Dad.
Uh-huh.
And still your other two siblings in the same house.
Yeah.
And your mom and your dad in a two-bedroom flat upstairs. Which is kind of incredible in these days.
Oh, I know. When I got older and I look at that house and I said, Lord, where do we all fit?
Yeah, I know.
Because it was just like amazing that, you know, we had the bed, the full bed in there. We had the crib, and then there was a buggy or a bed crib in the living room for the other baby. There was always somebody in the crib and somebody in the buggy. And that was just amazing. But,
Right, so you had then you moved out after you were pregnant with your fourth.
I was
right
after my third.
After the
pregnant with Michael. I moved out.
You moved out, and then you got an apartment, and then you had a total of six children within 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, so at the age of 24, you had six children from ages 1 to 6.
Right.
I am the youngest.
Right.
And then you had the wisdom to stop having that more children.
Well, yes.
And I know that it must have been such a chore for you to raise us all. And
well, I really don't, because I often think, and today, the way the kids are today, they're waiting so long to marry and have a family. And I don't think that's right, because I have no regrets in being young, because I literally grew up with my kids.
Yeah.
So I don't regret it. I had fun. I had the energy, the strength to be with them and to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to work, thank God. Dad did enough to support us all. I never went to work until the kids were in high school, so that was a blessing.
And so what was anything on your story and your past that you never told us, or you forgot to tell us, or, you know, something that you think your future generations should know about this great story of yours going down to Mexico at such a young age by yourself? I mean, it's just such an incredible love story.
It wasn't the easiest, because it was very hard living. His mom was very poor, was a very poor part of town. No running water, and no indoor facilities. Everything was outside. And
I often think of the insight of Dad to say, I want to go back to the States and raise my children there.
Yeah, well, he was his mom even said he was like a little vagabond. He never wanted to stay home. She says she forever was looking for him, because he was always somewhere doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way he was. He was out in Napa Valley in California working when he was younger. He was just everywhere where his brother was just the opposite. You couldn't tear him away from his house to go anywhere. Whereas Dad was just an adventurer. You know, he wanted to be out doing things and seeing
things. Right, but I'm thinking, did he ever say, you know, let's stay here in Mexico and raise our kids? Or what was it just understood that you would come back to the States?
No, he never objected to coming back with me. No, he never did. But at one point, when he got older and we traveled back and forth on vacation to Mexico, he did at times say, you know, that he often said, if I die, I want to be left here, to be buried here. But when he did die in Mexico on our vacation, I could not bring myself to leave him there because he had a family back home. Mm-hmm. He had a grandchildren, children, and I'm sure they wanted their dad to be with them, you know, so.
You think he would have been better, wanted to be buried down in Mexico, do you think?
I think he would have liked it, but I think he still did it his way with his countrymen, because when he died, he was laid out, and he had his people mourn him.
Right, we should probably mention that Dad passed away when we were vacationing down there.
Yeah, when we were vacationing. In fact, you, Linda, and your sister, Diane, they were with us, and he got sick. And I sent them back home because I didn't want them just hanging around the hospital.
Right, he was sick for a while. We had to get back.
Yeah,
and he passed away, but you brought him back.
Yeah,
as you did the first time when you got married.
Yes, I brought him back again. Unfortunately, it wasn't alive this time.
Right,
but
and at the age of 44, you were widowed.
Yeah, and he was 50. Yeah, so
26 years. I think you were married, right?
Yeah. Yes, we had our 25th anniversary, a surprise party that you kids planned for us, and it was lovely. I have really no regrets in my life except the fact that, you know, if we would have done things differently, perhaps, you know, if Dad would have been treated for his blood pressure problem, which at that time was not that much known about it like it is today. I think he would have been, if it happened here at home, I think he could have been saved, but the clinics where he was there were not equipped, really. There was a maternity hospital where he was at, and it was not equipped to be a...
How do you think you would like to be remembered yourself from your family?
Myself? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What do you think you're going to, you know, leave your legacy on?
Well, I would just love my kids to know. I really, really am blessed to have such a beautiful family, the love of my family, and my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I love them all. And if there's a way, I will always look after you, all of you.
And what do you think is the most important lesson you learned in life?
Oh, I believe it's just to appreciate life each day.
Right. Every day.
Love every day. I thank God every morning. And the wish for another morning to come. But as far as having regrets, I don't have regrets at all.
Any words of wisdom you want to pass on to your great-grandchildren that are probably going to hear this for years to come?
I would love them all to know just to be love their parents, their grandparents.
Right. I think that's the base of that this whole family was...
Yes,
was
never
based
be ashamed,
in love.
Never be ashamed to
show your
to
love.
Show your love, to ask for forgiveness if you do something wrong. And that's about it, you know. I never hold grudges. Life is too short.
Right, right. I think it's a wonderful story, and you know your legacy will go on and on. And,
well, I hope so. And if if there's a way, you know, all of you know, I will be looking out after you.
I know, Mom. Anything else you want to say?
I just thank you for doing this interview for me.
I'm glad
I know you've been
came.
After me a long time.
Well, it's a great story.
So I appreciate your time and effort, Linda.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
Can I ask a few questions?
Sure.
I loved hearing your love story, and I wanted to just get a few sort of visual details from the story. Like, What did, can you give me your husband's name and what he looked like the first time you met him?
Well, his real full name is Jose Carmen Velarde. In fact, his real name, it should be Gutierrez Velarde, mm-hmm. because he never wanted Gutierrez. He said it was too hard for me to spell. So being that he wasn't that, at that time, that affluent in English, he says, I just took my mom's name. His mom was Velarde. So, in other words, you know.
And what did
he was,
describe him?
He was, he was, I would say he was more handsome than Elvis Presley.
Oh.
He wasn't tall. He might have been 5'9". But he was a very, very, well, my daughter saw his pictures mm-hmm. when he was young. He was a very, very handsome man. Maybe that is one of the reasons I said, I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm not going to lose him. Mm-hmm. I want him, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to, if he's willing, I'm going to bring him back home.
And did you go down there with the intent to marry him? Did you know?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
I did. I went there with the intent to bring him home. I told Mom, I want to bring him home, Mom, and I told her, you know, that we were married, and she was happy about that. She was happy. In fact, she always wrote me letters, and she would tell me about the songs, the new hits that came out mm-hmm. and everything. And she would, you know, say, you know, she missed me, and she would want me back home. And
I'm sure.
She said, I think Dad forgave you. He'll want you back home, too, because he misses you. So mm-hmm. I said, I miss him, too.
And what was it like being in Mexico during that time? Oh. What was his family like?
His family was very loving. They were very surprised at how I took the Mexican food, because his mother, you know, when she made the tortillas and she had jalapenos and all that, she would always say in her Spanish, you know, look at this gringa. She's eating all our food, you know, and I was just relishing it, you know, and I never wanted to pick up my nose or anything. Whatever they served me, I just ate, you know, and they loved me for that. My mother-in-law, in fact, did come down to visit us one time mm-hmm. when we lived in the projects. My husband and all my children, six of us, we lived in a four-bedroom place, and his mother came with one of her
grandsons, wasn't it? Well,
it was like somebody she was taking care of. And she stayed with us, and she came on a railroad all by herself. So I'm amazed at her, too, that she had the will to come and visit us.
Because she didn't speak any English.
No.
She didn't speak any English.
She did not speak English at all. And then, you know, too, that I don't know if Linda forgot to tell, that we've been there several times since my husband's passing. Mm-hmm. We've been there for his daughter's 15th birthday, which they call the quinceañera. We were there for the party, and then we went for their 50th wedding anniversary.
And, now, Ned's family was pretty poor down there, weren't they, in Mexico, when you first went there?
Oh,
they were
yes,
poor.
Definitely.
They had no running water,
I mean,
you said?
No, Dad had to go and get the water from someplace that was hot.
And you,
in fact,
you,
and bring
you
it, carry
washed
it
your
home.
Clothes on the rocks, did you?
Well,
or in
we had to.
Bin?
And it was primitive. I would say it was almost primitive. Because, you know, there was no modern convenience whatsoever. We took a bath. We had a big tub, sat on a stool, put our whatever container in the tub and just rinsed it and washed ourselves. And the same with dishes, you know. One time I was helping my mother-in-law do the dishes, and I look up, and there's a real big vulture sitting almost right up there. I said, that scared me enough where I said, wow. My husband says, oh, don't be afraid. He says, they're just looking for scraps. I said, yeah. But it was hard to get used to. You know, the milkmen would come with their donkeys and deliver the milk, you know, right from the cow itself, I guess.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And he would let me get on the donkey, you know, and she wanted to turn ahead, and I hurry up, got off. I said, I'm going to bite me. He said, no, they won't. He said in Spanish, he won't bite you. But, you know,
that's
it was.
And when you went on dates while you were down there, what would you do? Did you guys ever go out on the town together?
Right. What did you do down there when you?
We really didn't do that much, really, because.
Nothing to do?
Dad, I think your dad was, at the time, he was working odd jobs. So he was doing some work, and I just stayed there with my sister-in-law. And in fact, she had one child, and she was about to deliver another child. When I was there, she did deliver the child. Mm. And, you know, I was there when she delivered it. And
so you're kind of helping her out?
Well, she had a midwife, yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't mean with the birth, but I mean with her babies, you were helping her, were you? Because you lived together?
Yeah, we all lived in it was big room, and we was just divided with beds. Mm. It was like a community room, you know, where they were in one part, we were in another part. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember, you know, seeing my nephew being born, and, mm-hmm. you know, I thought that would scare me from ever having children. But
so it wasn't your usual...
Unfortunately, it didn't. I had six of them.
It wasn't your usual dating, going to the show or anything?
Oh, no. I don't remember really what we did. We might have gone for walks. We might have mm-hmm. gone to another town mm-hmm. or something. But we did nothing exciting mm-hmm. that I could really... That would stick in my mind that I remember, really, we did this, we did that. No. We did a lot when we were vacationing.
And what was it like when you had your first child yourself?
I was happy. I was very happy. I was living with Mom and Dad, so that made it very, very easy, convenient. My husband was working. My dad made him a job, so he was working. And... You know, naturally, with my first, I was really, I didn't know
you were
how
18,
much.
Right? When Jim was born, you were 18?
He was born in Sisters Hospital, which was, at the time, just being changed to Sisters.
How old were you?
I was 18.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't know how much... You know, what was I going to experience pain-wise or whatever, you know? And I guess I just, it was a surprise to me anyway, but.
Well, I always thought that it was so funny that you were so young when you had kids. And, you know, granted, maybe you were more mature, but I think that you did a good job bringing us up because you taught us, you know, you may not have... taught us much, but you taught us the basics, and that was just to love each other, take care of each other, you know,
yeah.
And all six of us were just a very loving family, and I think it was due to your love for Dad and his
right.
love for you, and he showed it you all the time, and I think that just goes to show that that's all you need.
Right, and you know, we didn't have much, but at least you were always clean.
Mm-hmm.
I must say that I was fussy about, you know, having clean clothes for you and mm-hmm. and looking pretty. And
right. They may have been secondhand, but they were never torn or anything, right?
No.
They were always clean, I know.
No. My husband used to nickname me Secondhand Rose because I think since the beginning of time, I've always shopped in secondhand stores, and he used to always tell, you mm-hmm. know, call me Secondhand Rose.
Mm-hmm. And you did you finish ninth grade or did you?
I started ninth grade, but I never finished.
You never finished it.
It.
And you know what, Mom? I always think you're a very smart person. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but I think you're pretty wise.
Well,
and you speak three languages, right? You speak Polish.
Not as fluent as Spanish,
still,
but I understand Polish.
Right. So there you go. Somebody who didn't even complete ninth grade. You have that knack for learning a language. I think
yeah,
you could have been very smart.
And
if you had
I
been
did
to college,
work.
You would have been dangerous, I think. You would have been so smart.
And I did work, and I made some decent money.
Right.
And I made myself some saving, where I'm retired
right.
about 15 years, and mm-hmm. I live comfortably. I must say, I enjoy life because I am alone, but I am not lonely.
Because right.
my children are always concerned. They always call me or visit me,
and
ask me if I want something to
that's
eat.
That's due to the way you brought us up, though. That
well,
we know we have to take care of you because for all those years you've taken care of us and you raised us all real well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think any loving mother would do the same to any of her children.
Mm-hmm.
If she's a loving mother, her children always come first. Always.
So it sounds like he was quite the romantic. Do you have any
oh,
stories
yes,
about that?
Yes, I always was. In fact, my daughter gets mad at me because I always say, Linda, she's got a wonderful, wonderful boyfriend.
No, let's not get into that.
And I tell her, Linda, please take care of him. Be good.
She asked you about how Dad was.
He was romantic too.
I always can say that. I remember Dad. He loved you very much. I know that, and he always showed it. He was always kissing you.
He was never embarrassed to show.
To
kiss me.
I think
or
that's
whatever.
Why we are such a lovey kissy family, because there was so much love in our family all around.
And then my family too. You know, whenever we greet each other, we always kiss each other hello. Mm-hmm. We kiss each other goodbye. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my mother often, God rest her soul, she often said, you never know if you're going to see that person again. So you have to say what you want to that person
right.
while they are alive.
Like it's the last time you're going to see them, because it might be.
It might be the last time one
right.
time.
I think we're done. Are you done? Do you have anything else, Mom? No?
No, I guess that's it.
Thank you for all the love you've given
you.
Us.
Thank you for allowing me to share my love story with you and whoever else is interested in listening to
mm-hmm.
it.
I hope they do listen in the future.
All right. Thank you so much.
Love you, Mom.
I love you too, daughter.
My name is Linda Velarde. I'm 54 years old. Today is August 10th, 2008. We are in Buffalo, New York, and I am the daughter here.
Hello, my name is Dolores Velarde. I'm 79, and today's date is August 10th, 2008, and our location is Buffalo, New York, and my relationship is I'm her mom.
And we're here because of a love story. That Mom has always told me since I was a little girl. Mom was born in Buffalo. We were both born and raised in Buffalo. Mom was born on the east side to parents of Polish immigrants who were, she's all Polish. But in 1944, I think it was, my father came up from Mexico. And he came up here because during the war they needed workers. Everybody was in the war, so they needed some workers, and he came up here to work at, I think it was the railroad, right?
He was on the railroad. He
worked in the railroad. My mom lived at 1516 Broadway, right, 1517 Broadway, right behind Edwin's Music Store, so everybody in the east side of Buffalo would know that landmark, because it has been there for years, and there was a railroad trestle right there. And what I want to ask is if you remember the very first time you saw Dad.
Yes, it was, Grandma and I went to the store, happened to go to the store right on at the end of Deschler and Ashley. Kind of can picture in my mind almost. And we went to the store. It was a little Polish corner store. And I just happened to see this man that looked very handsome to me. And I said to my mom, Mom, look at him. Isn't he gorgeous? And she says, shh. She said, don't say that. You're too young. So anyway, I looked at him, he looked at me, and we went to the store again several times. And the owner, Seal, next time I went, she said, here's a note for you. It's from this fellow you were eyeing, and he was eyeing you. And I went outside with the note, and he was waiting out there for me. And I said, yes. And he says, well, he said, what's your name? He spoke pretty good, not perfect English, but he spoke English enough for me to understand.
And at the time, you didn't speak any Spanish.
I was, and believe it or not, it goes to show you how coincidental life is, because I was listening to the programs in Spanish, and I would pick up words and phrases, and it just stuck to me. And I didn't really have to take lessons, and it just stuck to me. Like I say, it was meant to be. That I speak Spanish and that I, you know, that I meet Dad, like I always said, it was meant to be.
And at the time, I think we have to note that you were just 15.
Oh, yes.
And Dad was 21.
Yes, he was.
So there was, what?
6 years.
6 years difference. And that's quite a lot for that time to have somebody that's 21.
Yes, yes. And, today's law would frown on it.
And so when you met him and he met you and he passed on the note, you started talking. And what would be a typical, like, date if you did date at the time?
We would just walk. Walk the blocks. Uh-huh. We had to be careful because not too many Polish boys in the area looked kindly upon the Mexican
right,
people because
absolutely.
They were here. They figured replacing the guys, yes, mm-hmm. but also stealing their women. And, you know, wasn't that case at all, at least not in my opinion.
And was language ever a barrier, or was Dad pretty good
at
speaking?
No, that was really very good. Like I say, I don't know why, you know, it just happened that
I picked up Spanish so clearly because I can read and write it today without even studying it. And
okay, so you dated for about 2 years.
Well, no, it was about a year.
About a year.
Because I went to Mexico when I was 16.
All right, now we're going to get into that now.
Okay.
Eventually Dad had to go back to Mexico because he was only
here. His contract was over.
Right, he was only here like on some sort of work program or visa or something.
Yes.
So when he left, was it like a tearful goodbye? Did he say, you know, well, right?
Oh, yes, it was tearful for me because he said, you know, that... You know, when I told him that I'm going to see him, I'm going to go down there, he says, no, it's impossible. I said, never, never impossible. I'm going to be there. So we corresponded. I had his address. He had mine.
And so this is the good part of the story, because at the age of just 16, you on your own,
went
with
to
no
work.
One else, you went to your mom and you said, you're going to go down there.
Well, I was living with Mom and Dad, but
right.
my mom
You were
knew,
still at home, right.
But Dad didn't know. My
and
dad
you
didn't know.
Went on your own into Mexico.
Yes, I took a train. A cousin of mine was going to go with me, and then she chickened out at the last minute, so I had no choice but to go alone.
Right.
So we went. I went on a train all the way down to Laredo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we had to get off because we would have to take a bus to go into Mexico itself, which was in Tampico. So I said, I was waiting for my bus, and lo and behold, a squad car comes by with the immigration police, whatever they were doing, and they put me in their squad car, and they sat me down, and they said, who are you, and where are you going? And I told him my name. He said, do you have your papers with you? Which at that time, we just needed a tourist card. So I showed it to them. He said, you got money? Yes, I had to show him how much money I had. And he says, where are you going? So I gave him the address. And then he says, does your mom and dad know where you're going? And I says, oh, boy, here's where they're going to ship me right back. And I says, sure. He says, what about if we call them? I said, go ahead. In the meantime, I said, well, this is the end of it.
How funny.
But you know, he just took my, I guess he took me up on it that I wasn't lying, because I said, yeah, go call him. And lo and behold.
And he let you go.
Yeah, he let me go.
Now, how much money did you have on you?
I don't really remember, but at that time, you didn't need a lot of money. A lot of money was $20 at that time, even.
But did Grandma give you the money, or did you?
No, I had to go to work. I worked for a while.
Oh, okay.
I worked for a while and made some money to save it and take it with me. And, of course, Grandma wrote me, and my mom, which is your mm-hmm. grandma, she wrote me and sometimes would send me money and all that. And
so you went down there,
uh-huh.
and you went right into Tampico. You asked for the address, however it was you found your way into Mexico.
Well, I had his address, and I went to the address I was writing to.
Okay.
Little, you know, did I know, even my son David says, Mom, mm-hmm. how did you know that he wasn't lying, that Dad wasn't lying, that he could have been
had a family.
Just a family, and uh-huh. you would have gone there, and he, mm-hmm. what would you have done?
Or if he would have just said, you know, I'm going somewhere else now and not been home.
Yeah.
But he was there when you got there.
Well, he was not there at the house. His aunt and uncle were at the house.
Uh-huh.
And when I knocked on the door, they opened, and I told him who I was, and I asked for Carmen Velarde, and they knew exactly who I was there. And he says, well, he's not here, but we'll go. And they didn't speak any English.
Uh-huh.
And he says, we'll go and get them. So, lo and behold, they brought him to the house, and when he saw me, naturally he was happy, but probably at the same time he was saying, oh my gosh, he really did come. And then, you know, after a while, we just went to his mom's house, because his mom lived with his brother, and his brother had already one children, and she was going to have another child when I was there.
And so you married down there?
Well, we didn't marry right away, because mm-hmm. We had to get papers and get a neighbor to be our witnesses. But after a while, we knew we had to get married to get back to the States, because I wanted to bring him back home with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. We went to Madero, which is just a suburb of Tampico, and that's where we got married by the Justice of the Peace in what they call Ciudad Madero, Tamaulipas. And we had our two neighbors, Arturo and Doña Juana.
They were our as they say, testigos, which are our witnesses. And that was it. I don't even know if we had any kind of a celebration at all when we came home.
Did you have like a wedding dress?
No, I just had my best clothes that I took. That's what I wore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing traditional of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. I just, you know, had a nice dress and a skirt. And that was it. And naturally, his mother was there and his brother is also to witness our marriage.
And all the time that you got married down there, didn't you wish your mom was down there?
Well,
your dad?
I would have liked them to be there, yes. And I would have liked what I should have done, actually. And I think I regretted it after a long while, which is too late to even think about it now. But I should have had our marriage blessed when I got back home with them. But, you know, I just was having children every year, and I just never got around to thinking of myself. I was too busy involved with my family. So, But Dad, after a while, I guess he forgave me because he welcomed myself and my husband back home.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, first of all, when you did get married, you were just 17.
Yes.
And Dad was 22 at the time.
Yeah.
And
he was 23.
Oh, he was 23. Okay. And this was in September 26th of 1946. That's your anniversary. And
well,
so
I got married in 46.
Right. That's what he said.
Yeah. And Jim.
And so when you came back, how was the reception? What did Grandma and Grandpa, you know, first of all, what did Grandpa do knowing after?
He was happy to see me.
I bet.
He was happy. He was just glad I was home.
Uh-huh.
And he, after a while, I don't know what he thought first, you know, but he accepted Dad, you know, after a while, there was no conflict ever between them.
And when you came back to Mexico, to the States from being in Mexico,
uh-huh.
Now Dad had no job waiting for him back here.
No.
And neither did you, for that matter.
Oh, no.
So
no.
You lived with Grandma and Grandpa on Broadway, or was it on Deschler?
On Broadway.
It was on Broadway at that
same place
you were
1517, right where I was raised.
And it was the back house upstairs. And also at the time, Grandma had three of her own children there, or were just two living at the
just
house?
Just two.
To Aunt Phil and Uncle.
One brother and one sister.
Ted. And so you moved in with you and Dad.
Uh-huh.
And Grandma had how many bedrooms in that little apartment?
Just two.
Two bedrooms. So we had.
So my sister and my younger sister and my brother had bunk beds in with my mother and father's double bed.
And you and Dad had another bedroom.
And then we had another bed in off the living room. There wasn't one bed there.
And that was your bedroom.
That was, yeah.
And so then you got pregnant with Jim, and
uh-huh.
You stayed there? I stayed there. And then how long?
I stayed there till I think I had Diane.
So she had three children. Living in the house with you and Dad.
Uh-huh.
And still your other two siblings in the same house.
Yeah.
And your mom and your dad in a two-bedroom flat upstairs. Which is kind of incredible in these days.
Oh, I know. When I got older and I'd look at that house and I said, Lord, where do we all fit?
Yeah, I know.
Because it was just like amazing that, you know, we had the bed, the full bed in there. We had the crib, and then there was a buggy or a bed crib in the living room for the other baby.
Yeah.
There was always somebody in the crib and somebody in the buggy. And that was just amazing. But,
Right, so you had then you moved out after you were pregnant with your fourth.
I was
right
after my third. After I had pregnant with Michael. I moved out.
You moved out, and then you got an apartment, and then you had a total of six children within 6 years.
Yeah.
So at the age of 24, you had six children from ages 1 to 6.
Yeah.
I am the youngest.
Right.
And then you. You had the wisdom to stop having that more children.
Well, yes,
And I know that it must have been such a chore for you to raise us all. And
well, I really don't, because I often think, and today the way the kids are today, they're waiting so long to marry and have a family, and I don't think that's right, because I have no regrets in being young, because I literally grew up with my kids.
Yeah.
So I don't regret it. I had fun. I had the energy, the strength to be with them and to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to work, thank God. Dad did enough to support us all. I never went to work until the kids were in high school, so that was a blessing.
And so what was anything on the your story and your past that you never told us or you forgot to tell us or, you know, something that you think your future generations should know about this great story of yours going down to Mexico at such a young age by yourself? I mean, it, to me, it's just such an incredible love story.
It wasn't the easiest because it was very hard living. His mom was very poor, was a very poor part of town, no running water, and no indoor facilities. Everything was outside. And
I often think of the insight of Dad to say, I want to go back to the States and raise my children there.
Yeah, well, he was a, his mom even said, he was a, like a little vagabond. He never wanted to stay home. She said she forever was looking for him because he was always somewhere doing something. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way he was. He was out in Napa Valley in California working when he was younger. He was just everywhere, where his brother was just the opposite. You couldn't tear him away from his house to go anywhere, whereas Dad was just an adventurer. You know, he wanted to be out doing things and seeing
things. Right, but I'm thinking, did he ever say, you know, let's stay here in Mexico and raise our kids? Or what was it just understood that you would come back to the States?
No, he never objected to coming back with me. No, he never did. But at one point, when he got older and we traveled back and forth on vacation to Mexico, he did at times say, you know, that he often said, if I die, I want to be left here, to be buried here. But I, when he did die in Mexico on our vacation, mm-hmm. I could not bring myself to leave him there because he had a family back home. Mm-hmm. He had a grandchildren, children, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they wanted their dad to be with them, you know, so.
You think he would have been better, wanted to be buried down in Mexico, do you think?
I think he would have liked it, but uh-huh. I think he still did it his way with his countrymen, because when he died, he was laid out, and he had his people mourn him.
Right, we should probably mention that Dad passed away when we were vacationing down there.
Yeah, when we were vacationing. In fact, you, Linda, and your sister, Diane, they were with us, and he got sick. And I sent them back home because I didn't want them just hanging around the
hospital.
Right,
we were sick for a while. We had to get back.
Yeah,
and then he passed away, but you brought him back.
Yeah, I brought
him
back.
As you did the first time when you got married.
Yes, I brought him back again. Unfortunately, it wasn't alive this time.
Right.
But
and at the age of 44, you were widowed.
Yeah, and he was 50. Yeah. So
26 years, I think you were married, right?
Yeah. Yes, we had our 25th anniversary, a surprise party that mm-hmm. you kids planned for mm-hmm. us, and it was lovely. I have really no regrets in my life except the fact that, you know, if we would have done things differently, perhaps, you know, if Dad would have been treated for his mm-hmm. blood pressure problem, which at that time was not that much known about it like it is today. I think he would have been, if it happened here at home, I think he could have been saved. But the clinics where he was there were not equipped, really. There was a maternity hospital where he was at, and it was not equipped to be a...
How do you think you would like to be remembered yourself from your family?
Myself?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think you're going to, you know, leave your legacy on?
Well, I would just love my kids to know. I really, really am blessed to have such a beautiful family, the love of my family and my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I love them all. And if there's a way, I will always look after you, all of you.
And what do you think is the most important lesson you learned in life?
Oh, I believe it's just to appreciate life each day.
Right. Every day.
Love every day. Thank mm-hmm. I thank God every morning and the wish for another morning to come. But as far as having regrets, I don't have regrets at all.
Any words of wisdom blessed. You want to pass on to your great-grandchildren that are probably going to hear this for years to come?
I would love them all to know just to be love their parents their grandparents.
Right. I think that's the base of that this whole family was was
never
based in love.
Never be ashamed
to show
your love, mm-hmm. to ask for forgiveness if you do something wrong. And that's about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never hold grudges. Life is too short.
Right, right. I think it's a wonderful story, and you know your legacy will go on and on. And,
well, I hope so. And if if there's a way, you know, all of you know, I will be looking out after you.
I know, Mom. Anything else you wanna?
No,
say?
I just thank you for doing this interview for me.
I'm glad
you've been
came.
After me a long time.
Well, it's a great story.
So I appreciate your time mm-hmm. and effort, Linda.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
Can I ask a few questions?
Sure.
I loved hearing your love story, and I wanted to just get a few sort of visual details from the story. Like, what did... can you give me your husband's name and what he looked like the first time you met him?
Well, his real full name is Jose Carmen Velarde. In fact, his real name, it should be Gutierrez Velarde, mm-hmm. because he never wanted Gutierrez. He said it was too hard for me to spell. So being that he wasn't that, at that time, that affluent in English, he says, I just took my mom's name. His mom was Velarde. So, in other words, you know.
And what did
he was,
describe him?
He was, I would say he was more handsome than Elvis Presley.
Oh.
He wasn't tall. He might have been 5'9", but he was a very, very, well, my daughter saw his pictures mm-hmm. when he was young. He was a very, very handsome man. Maybe that is one of the reasons I said, I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm not going to lose him. I want him, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to, if he's willing, I'm going to bring him back home.
And did you go down there with the intent to marry him? Did you know?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
I did. I went to him with the intent to bring him home. I told Mom, I want to bring him home, Mom. And I told her, you know, that we were married, and she was happy about that. She was happy. In fact, she always wrote me letters, and she would tell me about the songs, the new hits that came out mm-hmm. and everything. And she would, you know, say, she missed me and she would want me back home. And
I'm sure.
She said, I think Dad forgave you. He'll want you back home, too, because he misses you. So mm-hmm. I said, I miss him, too.
And what was it like being in Mexico during that time? Oh. What was his family like?
His family was very loving. They were very surprised at how I took to Mexican food. Because his mother, you know, when she made the tortillas and she had jalapenos and all that, she would always say in her Spanish, you know, look at this gringa. She's eating all our food, you know, and I was just relishing it, you know. And I never wanted to pick up my nose or anything. Whatever they served me, I just ate, you know, and they loved me for that. My mother-in-law, in fact, did come down to visit us one time mm-hmm. when we lived in the projects. My husband and all my children, six of us, we lived in a four-bedroom place. And his mother came with one of her...
her grandsons, wasn't it? Wasn't it our cousins?
It was like somebody she was taking care of. And she stayed with us. And she came on a railroad all by herself. So I'm amazed at her, too, that she had the will to come and visit us.
Because she didn't speak any English.
No.
She didn't speak any English.
She did not speak English at all. And then, you know, too, that I don't know if Linda forgot to tell that we've been there several times since my husband's passing.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there for his daughter's 15th birthday, which they call the quinceañera. We were there for the party, and then we went for their 50th wedding anniversary.
And, now, Dad's family was pretty poor down there, weren't they, in Mexico? When you first went there,
definitely.
They had no running water.
I mean,
you said
no. Dad had to go and get the water from someplace that was hot.
And you,
in fact,
you,
and bring
you
it, carry
washed
it
your
home.
Clothes on the rocks. Did you?
Well,
or in a
yeah, we had to.
Bin?
And it was primitive. I would say it was almost primitive,
okay.
Because you know there was no modern convenience whatsoever. We took a bath. We had a big tub, sat on a stool.
put the, our whatever container in the tub and just rinsed it and washed ourselves. And the same with dishes, you know. One time I was helping my mother-in-law do the dishes, and I look up, and there's a real big vulture sitting almost right up there. I said, that scared me enough where I said, wow. My husband says, oh, don't be afraid. He says, they're just looking for scraps. I said, yeah. But it was hard to get used to. You know, the milkmen would come with their donkeys and deliver the milk, you know, right from the cow itself, I guess.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And he would let me get on the donkey, you know, and she wanted to turn ahead, and I hurry up, got off. I said, I'm going to bite me. He said, no, they won't. He said in Spanish, he won't bite you. But, you know,
right,
it was.
And when you went on dates while you were down there, what would you do? Did you guys ever go out on the town together?
Right. What did you do down there when you?
We really didn't do that much, really, because.
Nothing to do?
Dad, I think your dad was, at the time, he was working odd jobs. So he was doing some work. And I just stayed there with my sister-in-law. And in fact, she had one child, and she was about to deliver another child. When I was there, she did deliver the child. Mm. And, you know, I was there when she delivered it. And
so you're kind of helping her out?
Well, she had a midwife, yes.
Uh-huh. No, I don't mean with the birth, but I mean with her babies. You were helping her, were you? Because you lived together?
Yeah, we all lived in it was big room, and we was just divided with beds. Mm. It was like a community room, you know, where they were one part, we were in another part. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember, you know, seeing my nephew being born, and, mm-hmm. you know, I thought that would scare me from ever having children. But
so it wasn't your usual...
Unfortunately, it didn't. I had six of them.
It wasn't your usual dating, going to the show or anything?
Oh,
no.
I don't remember really what we did. We might have gone for walks. We might have mm-hmm. gone to another town mm-hmm. or something. But we did nothing exciting mm-hmm. that I could really, that would stick in my mind that I remember, really, we did this, we did that. No. We did a lot when we were vacationing.
And what was it like when you had your first child yourself?
I was happy. I was very happy. I was living with Mom and Dad, so that made it very, very easy, convenient. My husband was working. My dad made him a job, so he was working. And, you know, naturally, with my first, I was really, I didn't know.
You were 18, right, when Jim was born? You were 18?
He was born in Sisters Hospital, which was, at the time, just being changed to Sisters.
How old were you?
I was 18.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't know how much, you know, what was I going to experience pain-wise or whatever, you know. I guess I just... it was a surprise to me anyway, but...
Well, I always thought that it was so funny that you were so young when you had kids. And, you know, granted, maybe you were more mature, but I think that you did a good job bringing us up because you taught us, you know, you may not have taught us much, but you taught us the basics, and that was just to love each other, take care of each other, you know.
Yeah.
And all six of us were just a very loving family, and I think it was due to your love for Dad and his
right.
love for you. I mean, he showed it you all the time, and I think that just goes to show that that's all you need.
Right, and you know, we didn't have much, but at least you were always clean.
Mm-hmm.
I must say that I was fussy about, you know, having clean clothes for you and mm-hmm. and looking pretty. And
right. They may have been secondhand, but they were never torn or anything, right?
No.
They were always clean, I know.
No. My husband used to nickname me Secondhand Rose because I think since the beginning of time, I've always shopped in secondhand stores. And he used to always tell, you know, call me Secondhand Rose.
Mm-hmm. And did you finish ninth grade, or did you?
I started,
you started
ninth grade,
it?
But I never finished it.
You never finished
it.
And you know what, Mom? I always think you're a very smart person. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but I think you're pretty wise.
Well.
And you speak three languages, right? You speak Polish.
Not as fluent as Spanish, but I understand Polish.
Right. So there you go. Somebody who didn't even complete ninth grade. You have that knack for learning a language. I think you could have been very smart.
And
if you'd been to college, you would have been dangerous, I think. You would have been so smart.
And I did work, and I made some decent money, and I made myself some saving. Now I'm retired about 15 years, and I live comfortably. I must say I enjoy life because I am alone, but I am not lonely because my children are always concerned. They always call me or visit me, and ask me if I want something to
eat.
That's
due to the way you brought us up, though. We know we have to take care of you because for all those years you've taken care of us and you raised us all real well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think any loving mother would do the same to any of her children. Mm-hmm. If she's a loving mother, her children always come first. Always.
So it sounds like he was quite the romantic. Do you have any
stories
about that?
Oh, yes, I always was. In fact, my daughter gets mad at me because I always say, Linda, she's got a wonderful, wonderful boyfriend.
Oh, let's not get into that.
And I tell her, Linda, please take care of him. Be good.
She asked you about how Dad was.
He was romantic, too.
I always can say that. I remember Dad, he loved you very much. I know that. And he always showed it. He was always kissing you and grabbing you.
He was never embarrassed to kiss me or whatever.
I think that's why we are such a lovey, kissy family, because there was so much love in our family all around.
And then my family, too. You know, whenever we greet each other, we always kiss each other hello. Mm-hmm. We kiss each other goodbye. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my mother often, God rest her soul, she often said, you never know if you're going to see that person again. So you have to say what you want to that person when they are alive.
Like it's the last time you're going to see them because it
might be the last time time.
I think we're done. Are you done? You anything else, Mom? No?
No, I guess that's
it. Thank you for all the love you've given us.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share my love story with you and whoever else is interested in listening to it.
I hope they do listen in the future.
All right. Thank you so much.
Love you, Mom.
I love you too, daughter.